Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
It's real interesting that so many people are enamored with and spend endless hours studying the works of mere men, like they call them the reformers in particular, men like John Calvin, an absolute murderous heretic. That is irrefutable historical fact. John Calvin was also greatly influenced by a Catholic bishop named Augustine. You'd be amazed at how the cults of Calvinism and Catholicism are kissing cousins. If you don't believe that, take a look at the historical sketch on SafeguardYourSoul.com, put together by Ken Rieske. I'm trying to pronounce that correctly. R-I-E-S-K-E. We've got an expansive category on Calvinism, a little bit of a thumbnail sketch here. John Calvin lived from 1564. He was one of the leading Reformation thinkers. We'll talk about that in a minute, the Reformation. He retaught Augustinian ideas. Augustine was Bishop of Hippo, or North Africa, from 354 to 430, so long before Calvin was on the scenes. Let's see, about, 1100 years earlier, Augustine was the Bishop of Hippo, North Africa, and John Calvin derived much of his doctrine from this Catholic. Also, Calvin has been very influential, this is important to know, on Baptist, Presbyterian, Reformed, Anglican, and many other church groups that we have with us today in the so-called modern church. Calvinism is sometimes called Reformed theology. Notice Reformed. First of all, the Bible is God's direct transmission to man, and it's unchangeable as He is, so nothing really had to be reformed, did it? No, it didn't, because God said He was going to preserve His written word, which is settled in heaven, Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, that He was going to preserve that to us, Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. So nothing needed to be reformed or formed again. We have the Word of God, and that's the problem. There are many who don't want the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God because they're not being honest, they're being deceitful, they have not truly repented, and so they run to and they migrate to people, past and present, who tell them what they want to hear out of their unrepentant hearts is that they don't have to change, they don't have to repent, they don't have to lay down their life. They don't have to engage in a cross relationship with Jesus, a crucified life. That's all they want to hear. And so they migrate to these people like flies on stink, if you know what I mean, like gravy on rice, to be stroked in their ears. Remember, the Bible foretold this hour. Then Paul, the apostle, said, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure meaning hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lust, there it is, they're unrepentant. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They would rather the fable than the facts or the truth. They don't want to lay down their lives. And that's what's at the root of those who migrate to and relish these false doctrines of systems of theology which are extra-biblical and contradictory to biblical truth, like Calvinism. Calvinism is definitely the grace-corrupting, sin-justifying system that the Holy Spirit warned us about in the book of Jude, where ungodly men, quote unquote, these are ungodly men, folks. They claim to be godly, but they're ungodly. We know that because by the fruit of their doctrine, we know that they don't teach the doctrine of Christ. They teach contrary to the doctrine of Christ. They either never were in or they didn't continue in the doctrine of Christ. And anybody who does not continue in the doctrine of Christ or the revelation of Jesus Christ through the scriptures does not have God. They are not right with God. 2 John verse 9. 2 John, it's only one chapter, verse 9 tells us you must continue in the doctrine of Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ and his will for mankind and his salvation through the Holy Scriptures. That's the problem here. A lot of people want to follow what men said. They won't get in the word for themselves. So they're living a deceitful fairy tale. And in the end, it's going to be an eternal penalty that they're going to pay irrevocably. Unfortunately, notice now with Calvinism, there's so much to say about this. And again, our category on Calvinism, it really behooves us to study this and compare it to Scripture because it has influenced much of what believers or professing believers espouse today, saints. After Jesus and his apostles left the earth, we had what we call the reformers, somewhat beginning with, as far as historically and what we look to, Martin Luther. Now, he was a mixed bag. Yes, justified by faith, but he was also influenced by other falsehoods himself. And all of these guys are just mere men. Many of them wrote, like Calvin, extensively, and a lot of what he wrote sounded really good, and it was true, but that's how Satan works. He encases a body of a lot of truth and then puts poison in it. But the Bible says concerning false doctrine, just a little leaven's a whole lump. In other words, if you were going to drink a tall, cold, refreshing glass of clear, cold water, and yet somebody dropped one little speck of invisible arsenic in it, would you drink it? No. Why? Because it's going to kill you. And so sound doctrine and absolute perfect doctrine, which we have in the scriptures, must be held to. We're all faulty. That's obvious and it's biblical. But the doctrine of God as given to us in Holy Scripture is perfect. And we must search out, study, and apprehend and embrace sound doctrine. Doctrinal exactness could not be overemphasized. The first place we see the importance of it is in the Garden of Eden, where Satan threw in one lie about the Lord, saying that the Lord, in Genesis 3:4, telling the man and the woman that they shall not surely die, he threw in one three-letter word that led to the fall of mankind. God said that they would surely die if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:17 compared to Genesis 3:4. Compare, that is, in 2:17, the voice of God, the word of God, to the voice of Satan in 3:4 of Genesis. I want you to go look at that yourself with your own eyes very closely. Satan added one three-letter word to the word of God, and he caused the fall of men. And he's still using the same exact false doctrine. This is the doctrine that you can live in sin before a holy God and still be right with him. Because after all, you're once saved, always saved. You're eternally secure, right? Wrong. The man and woman had never experienced sin. They were in perfect, pristine relationship with God when Satan threw this lie right in the middle of that monkey wrench, and they went for it. And what happens when people tell this lie, a false teacher's, anybody teaching once saved, always saved, and eternal security is a false teacher. If that's not a doctrine of devils, there's no such thing. And then people who adhere to that, instead of remaining in the fear of God, will fall. They will fall. Jesus said there are those who believe for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. How do they fall away? Well, just like we see in the Garden of Eden. You can't understand the whole Bible unless you understand, especially the first three chapters of Genesis. The whole book, yes, of Genesis. The book of origins, but especially those three chapters. Paul told us that there is no temptation that is before us that is not common to mankind. This is common all the way from the beginning. You must understand and not be ignorant of his devices. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Understand that this temptation to think that God is not going to punish wickedness, our wickedness, or our violation of his word, is absolutely diabolical. And that's exactly what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. And that's exactly what the whole goal of Satan is in this system of Calvinism. Now, let's talk a little bit about the sovereignty of God, because that's pretty much an overriding doctrine in Calvinism, and allows for Calvinists to distort the attributes and the word of God once they get people to believe that God is sovereign outside of what he has sovereignly put in his word from Genesis to Revelation. That's why it's so important that we personally and organically study God's word without the influence of men. Now, somebody right here, good, I agree with that, brother, and I'm getting off this stupid audio and I'm going to get in the word myself, because I don't want anything to do with your influence on my thinking. I want the word of God to permeate my being, and only the word of God. I would say hallelujah, beloved. Go for it. You don't need me. I'm just pointing you to Christ and pointing you to his word, and to stop following the whims and the theologies of mere men. That's why we have a Bible, so that we can have pure doctrinal exactness. Your soul, your eternal soul, is dependent upon doctrinal exactness, and that's why God gave you his word. So before we peer into the sovereignty of God doctrine as defined by Calvinism, remember, Calvinism has an acronym. It's their own acronym that describes the five foundational tenets, if you will, beliefs of Calvinism, and it's defined by the tulip. I call it the terrible tulip, the foolish, heretical tulip, because it absolutely defies the character of God in the original gospel. Every one of the points, these five that I'm going to name to you right now, are heretical as defined by Calvinism. Tulip, total depravity. That's what the T stands for. In fact, they say falsely that man is so depraved he can't even make the choice to follow Christ when he's quickened and drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely false. Total depravity. The U of the tulip is unconditional election. Another lie. A limited atonement. Another lie. And the fourth of the 5 points of Calvinism is irresistible grace. Another false teaching. And then the P of the tulip is perseverance of the saints, which is paramount to and pretty much the same thing as the once saved, always saved heresy that many evangelicals espouse. Now, here we go with the sovereignty of God here, the sovereignty claim of Calvinism by Ken Reiske. He writes this about it. He says, Calvin's sovereignty doctrine distorts the attributes of God. Calvinists are proud to proclaim, quote, the basic principle of Calvinism is the sovereignty of God, unquote. This doctrine allowed John Calvin to misinterpret Scripture in any manner he desired in order to fit his Institutes theology. He has many volumes called the Institutes of the Christian Religion, I believe it is. He simply claimed, instead of going by the Bible, this guy wrote volume after volume, extensive theology, which is extra biblical. And thank God we got a Bible, because that's our safety and we don't have to migrate to or spend our time. I don't know about you. I don't know the word of God good enough that I could even think about going into somebody else's theology books. If I'm going to read an extra biblical book, it's going to be by a very small grouping of men. I can count them on one hand. Maybe men like R.A. Torrey, men like E.M. Bounds, and a couple of others maybe. Men of God. And I'm going to read a little bit of it, and always comparing everything to Scripture. I don't have time, personally, to go read somebody's theology about God. In other words, they're telling you what the Bible says, or their interpretation of it, instead of just reading the Bible itself. What about you? It's time that we say, let God be true and every man a liar, and get into his word for ourselves. Romans 3:4. Also, study to show yourself approved. That's study the word not somebody else's commentary about the word. And I just don't understand how people can have time and the wherewithal or even the lack of conviction to go study Calvin's Institute of Theology. And that's how people get deceived. And that's why we have so many that we deal with today that are so influenced by this poisonous, sin-justifying, grace-perverting system of Calvinism. Let me continue with Ken Reske's dissertation on the sovereignty of God as defined by Calvinism. John Calvin, he continues, he said, Calvin simply claimed the sovereignty of God allowed it. God's other attributes such as love, justice, mercy, and grace became irrelevant so long as sovereignty reigned. John Calvin's extreme definitions of sovereignty and sin, that is, he called them total depravity or total inability, laid the foundation for a religion that bears his name, Calvinism. Ken Reske continues, John Calvin falsely taught that God elects some people from eternity past to be saved while damning all of the others to an eternal hell with no hope of being saved. This false doctrine is directly opposite to the Bible, which teaches that God is, quote, not willing that any should perish, unquote. If salvation were entirely dependent on the sovereign God, as taught by John Calvin, then certainly none would perish. But salvation is dependent upon the free will of people to believe the true gospel of faith. Brother Ken Reske then quotes 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, unquote. He continues, certainly God is sovereign. However, John Calvin used sovereignty as an excuse to formulate doctrines which violated God's other attributes. Calvin's doctrines of unconditional election and limited atonement predestined much of humanity to eternal torment in violation of God's attributes of love, justice, mercy, and grace. Doctrines which are correctly interpreted from Scripture will not violate any of God's attributes. And finally, Ken writes concerning the sovereignty as taught by John Calvin. Here we go. Last paragraph. Certainly, God is sovereign according to the definition of sovereign in the dictionary. God is, number one, the Most High. But God does not control every event and action of mankind as if people were puppets, as claimed by John Calvin. The scripture verses below, as he lists, clearly show that the unbelief of the children of Israel in the wilderness limited the Holy One of Israel, unquote. That's Psalm 78:41. According to the false doctrine of John Calvin, God cannot be limited. Scripture says he can be limited, and that is by the unbelief of people when they choose unbelief instead of faith. And finally, Ken writes, God could not secure the entry of the children of Israel into the promised land as he desired because they would not move forward. So God left them in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief, arrogance, and rebellion. Ken Reske on the sovereignty of God as defined by the false teachers of Calvinism. Amen, saints. I hope this gives you a little bit more insight into this cult of Calvinism, this extra-biblical heretical system, so that you'll know what you're dealing with when you encounter it amongst those claiming to be saved. In fact, many of them will say that Calvinism is the gospel. No, Calvinism is not the gospel. It's a gross perversion of the original gospel and the character of God as presented in Holy Scripture. Remember, God is sovereign, but he's sovereign according to what he sovereignly stated from Genesis to Revelation. Any doctrine, such as all of the doctrines of Calvinism, which violate what we read in Scripture, which is the sovereign stated word of God, they are to be counted as false. And that's why people get snared into false systems like Calvinism and get indoctrinated into the cult of Calvinism is because they're not adhering to studying and believing the Word of God itself. When you hear false doctrines, if you're in the Word of God, you must judge everything by the Word of God and nothing else. Let God be true and every man a liar. And a red flag will start flying, if you will. A great alarm should go off when you're hearing things that are not aligning with Scripture. Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They're false teachers, wolves. And they seek to devour your soul for their father, the devil, no matter what they pose as. Jesus warned that beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. Matthew 7:15. God bless you, friend. Thank you for listening.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.